Well, this morning we are going to learn a very good lesson from Lot's wife. Jesus said one word concerning Lot's wife, and that word was remember. And he was talking to the Pharisees. His disciples were with them, and he was talking about when the kingdom of God would come, talking about his second coming. And he said, as it was also in the days of Lot, that they ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built. But on the day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even so it will be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day, he who is on the housetop and his goods are in the house, let him not come down to take them away. And likewise, the one who is in the field, let him not turn back. Remember Lot's wife. Whoever seeks to save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life will preserve it. So what he's saying there is, there in Lot's day, they were eating, they were drinking, they were just carrying on life, business as usual, just living how they wanted to live, not realizing that judgment was coming and what lied ahead. And Jesus was warning them, saying, remember Lot's wife, remember what happened to her. Her mind, her heart was full of the world, full of the pleasures of the world, and she didn't want to leave Sodom. And she turned back, and her heart was in Sodom. And in doing that, in that seeking to save her life, to find her life, she lost it. She was destroyed. And though we live in this world, Jesus said that we are not to be of this world, and that our home is in heaven. It's not here on earth, so we shouldn't have the ties and the pull that Lot's wife found herself having, because our home is in heaven. And our lives should reflect our homes. So we should live our lives to where people look at us and they know what kind of a home we live in, and that's a heavenly home. That's where our heart is. Romans 12:2 tells us, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. Don't look like this world. Be different. 1 John 2:15 and 17 tell us, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away in the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. So, to me, this lesson of Lot's wife is a very sober lesson for us to learn, and a very important lesson, because Jesus said, remember, and learn from her life. And we want to do that this morning. First of all, at least for me, I cannot look at Lot's wife without looking at Lot first, because it starts with him. And there is a great lesson we can learn from his life. So if you turn to Genesis chapter 13, we want to look at Lot's progression, first of all, how he got to where he ended up. Now, in Genesis 12, God had called Abraham out of his land and to get away from those people and go into the new land. And Lot was his nephew, and Lot went with Abraham. And they were out in the plains and in the wilderness, and they were prospering. They were had a lot of livestock and a lot of servants. And in chapter 13, the land couldn't hold them all. There was just too many of them, and there was a little bit of strife between Lot's herdsmen and servants and Abraham's. And so Abraham said, let's separate. You where whichever direction you go, I'll go in the opposite direction. And so we find in verse 10 that it says that Lot
lifted his eyes, and he saw all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt as you go toward Zoar. So Lot lifted his eyes and he saw. It was absolutely beautiful. And it was the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh. What he saw with his eyes and what his eyes were telling his flesh, I want that. That looks good. That looks comfortable. And that's where I want to go. And in verse 11, it tells us that then Lot chose for himself all the plain of the Jordan, and then Lot journeyed east, and they separated from each other. So the second thing we see is that Lot chose for himself the pride of life. Whenever we choose for ourselves and not allow the Lord to choose, it's the pride of life. It's our pride that does that. So he was already on very dangerous ground here. And then in verse 12, it tells us that Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain and pitched his tent even as far as Sodom. So once again, that lust of the flesh, I'm heading that way. My eyes see what I want. I choose for myself. And now I continue to move forward from that lust of my flesh, getting what I want and pitching my tent toward that lust of the eyes. And then if you turn a page over to chapter 14, the next time we see Lot, chapter 14, verse 12, it says that Lot dwelt in Sodom. So we see the progression. His eyes saw, he chose for himself, he had that lust of the flesh, and he ended up then right in the middle of Sodom. And then in chapter 19, verse 1, it tells us that Lot was sitting in the gate of Sodom. So now, not only did he live there, but he had that some kind of a position, some kind of a place of authority or importance, because the elders would always sit in the gates of the city. So here is Lot, who had the lust of the eyes, and he saw, and he had the pride of life, he chose, and the lust of the flesh, he continued to move on what he saw and what he wanted. Now he's right in the heart of that city, and sitting in the gates. Now, in 2 Peter, Peter mentions Lot, and he says that righteous Lot. And every time I read that, I just, the Lord knows something I don't know, to call him righteous. And perhaps Lot kept his standing, and didn't really himself get pulled into the sin of the city or whatever. I don't know. That's one of those things I guess I won't know until I get to heaven. Why did you call Lot righteous? God delivered him from the city, so he must have simply poured his grace out upon his life to become righteous like he does in our life. But for us, this lesson of Lot we can learn from, this lust of the eyes and the lust of the flesh. Each one of us has something or things that cause our eyes and cause our flesh to lust after. And it would probably be different in each one of our lives. But there's something or things that when we look at, we automatically have a lust for. And lust doesn't always mean sexual. It's just that desire that I want. So whether it's when you're looking through magazines, it's a lust of the eyes, which is covetousness, or can be for a person, position, whatever it might be. Each one of us has those things in our lives that we need to be careful of and stay away from. And we can see something, but it doesn't, and be tempted, but it doesn't become sin until our will meets that temptation and we act upon that. So we have to be careful to stay away from those things that might be a lust of the eyes and a lust of the flesh. And you know what they are, because the Lord taps on your shoulder. He taps on your heart every time you look at it, every time you seek after that, whether it's on the TV, radio, whatever it is. Don't ignore that voice. Too easy to ignore that voice when we turn that thing on or watch this or look at this or go here or whatever we might be doing. And that little tug, that little prick in our heart, there's something, you know, we're not supposed to be doing this thing. It's too easy to shrug off. Don't shrug off. And I wasn't planning on sharing this, but I will because it's funny. Not just because it's funny, because the Lord really worked in my life. It just popped into my mind about when I was a brand new Christian. And I had this, lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh. I watched soap operas. Actually, I only watched one. I watched All My Children for many years. From the time you're in high school, you run home at lunchtime. And, you know, so anyway, I became a Christian. Brand new, like probably, I don't know, 3-4 weeks, 5 weeks old in the Lord. And I would come home from ladies' study and quickly put my kids down for their nap so I could watch what was happening with Erica and Phoebe and all those people, you know. And thinking nothing of it because you're just so used to the lust of the eyes and the lust of the flesh, you know, you don't really know until the Lord convicts you, which he did that day. Because I was sitting there watching my TV, very nice size TV we had just bought. And, you know, I'm probably a little bit into it. And all of a sudden, I thought, I don't think I should be watching this. It never occurred to me before. Huh. Now, I'm a new Christian, so I don't know the voice of the Lord very well. And the way I am, the way I pray, I still pray that way. But I said, Lord, if you don't want me to watch this, just blow my TV up. That second, the screen went dark. Absolutely dark. I looked around my living room. I said, okay, fine. Turned it off. That was that. I haven't watched it since. But he had mercy on me. He did not blow my TV up. We sold it right after that, but he didn't blow it up. But listen to the Lord when he speaks to you. Don't shrug that voice off. It's too easy to do. We all have that pride of life, that choosing for ourselves, as Lot chose for himself. Don't ever choose for yourself. Allow the Lord to choose for yourself. There's that thick hunger and craving of our flesh that wants to choose for ourselves because it looks good to the eyes, just like Lot. But allow the Lord to do your choosing. giving into these lusts of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, pitching my tent toward that direction, maybe thinking, well, I won't, maybe he thought, well, I'm not going to go in the city, I'll just pitch it so I can watch, but ended up in the city, is dangerous ground for us, and it leads us right to the heart of sin, which is right where Lot ended up, is right in that city full of sin. If you turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, good instruction for us here. Chapter 6, verse 14, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness, and what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. The Lord calls us to be separate from the world, not to move in and settle down in it like Lot did. 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. I like that first part. Do not be deceived, because the Lord knows that we can deceive ourselves. I can handle that. I can handle living right in the heart of Sodom. I can handle that. Well, maybe Lot could have handled it, but obviously his family could not. And what we do affects those people around us. Don't be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. So he wants us to
live in this world but not be a part of this world, to not have fellowship with this world. If you have fellowship with darkness, number one, there's no true fellowship. But if you have that contact, that closeness, pretty soon you will be corrupted by their attitudes, by their actions, by that lust that's in their own hearts. Galatians 6, 8, and 9 again says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For if he sows to his flesh, of his flesh he will reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Sowing to the Spirit rather than sowing to the flesh. How much sowing do I do to my flesh by allowing these eyes and these ears and my mind to take in those things of this world? I'm sowing to my flesh in that way. As I sat there, you know, and watched all my children, that's just flat out sowing to your flesh. What spiritual good is it doing? Absolutely none. So how much sowing to my flesh am I doing? Because what goes in will come out. I will reap then from my flesh. I want to sow to the Spirit so that I will reap life everlasting. Okay, back to Genesis 19. Good lessons from Lot, but our main lesson is from his wife. Now, if you know this story, you know that the angels and the Lord came to Abraham and was talking with him, and they were on their way to go destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And Abraham said, how can you do that? There's righteous people in there. Would you destroy this town if there are righteous people in there? If there's 50 righteous, no. If there's 50, we won't destroy it. And he said, well, what about, and I'm not going to get these numbers right, 30. The Lord said, no, I'll spare it for 30. And he gets him all the way down to 10. Lord, would you destroy this city if there were 10 righteous people? And the Lord said, no, I will spare this city if there are 10 righteous people. And so then these angels go into Sodom and they are attacked, really, by the men and the perversion of that city. That's how sick and evil and wicked that city was, where they wanted these men to have sexual relations with them. Lot takes them, pulls them into his house, knowing who they are, that they're not like all these other people. And the men came, pounded at Lot's door, demanded that they send the men out, and he offers his virgin daughters instead. Nice father. Yes, we don't even want to go in there in that direction at all. But these men were so sick and so perverted, they would prefer men. And so the angels blinded them and they were able to get out. Now, the angels told Lot that... wait a minute, I'm getting ahead of myself. In verse 14, the angels told Lot and his, 12. Have you anyone else here, son-in-law, your sons, your daughters, and whoever you have in this city, take them out of this place, for we will destroy this place because of the outcry against them has grown great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it. Lot went out, spoke to his sons-in-law, who had married his daughters, and said, get up. Get out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But to his sons-in-law, he seemed to be joking. And when morning dawned, the angels urged Lot to hurry, saying, arise, take your wife and your two daughters who are here, lest you be consumed in the punishment of the city. And then verse 16, it said, while he lingered, then the men took hold of his hand, his wife's hand, and the hands of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful to him, and then brought them out and set them outside of the city. That word, lingered, is a scary word. Here is Lot lingering. He knows the sin of the city, and he knows what is going to happen, but he lingered. And it seems to indicate that his wife also lingered, because the angels had to grab both of their hands and their daughters and literally pull them out. So here is Lot's wife lingering. Their hearts were planted there. Their hearts were not heavenly minded. Their hearts were in that city and among those people and among that sin. Now, God was being very merciful to them, sending the angels there to deliver them out. He knew, I am destroying this city, and I'm going to rescue you. I'm going to deliver you. I want to take you out of that city. But they lingered. And one day soon, our Lord is coming for us to deliver us out of this sin-filled world, because this world is going to be destroyed. And where is our heart? Is it planted in this world, or is it in heaven? Is our heart lingering here, or is it heavenly minded and set on those things that are above, or is it lingering? We read this, we look, and we think, you're crazy. Get out. But there was a pull. There was a pull on them. They had a divided heart. Their heart loved the sin. They loved being there. They did not want to leave. Then the angels physically had to take them by the hand and take them out of the city. And then the angels tell them, escape for your life. Don't look behind you, nor stay anywhere in the plain. Escape to the mountains, lest you be destroyed. Then Lot argues, I don't want to go to the mountains. Something's going to happen terrible to me in the mountains. I want to stay in the plains. Look, there's a little city over there. Why can't I just go over there? Well, they allow him to go over there. But how often do we do that with the Lord when he's trying to remove us from a situation, from a place in our lives that is going to destroy us, that we start lingering? And and he wants to take us over here, and I don't want to go over there. Can I just go over here? And by his grace and his mercy, he lets us go. But I don't want God's permissive will. I want his perfect will in my life. I don't want to argue with him like Lot argued with him. And then in verses 24 through 26, it said, then the Lord rained brimstone and fire on Sodom and Gomorrah from the Lord out of the heavens. So he overthrew those cities, all the plain, all the inhabitants of the city, and what grew on the ground. But his wife looked back behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. Now, they were just told, escape for your life, do not look behind you. And his wife looked back. And if you did your homework, you would have seen the definition there in the Hebrew. The meaning is to scan, to look intently at, to regard with pleasure, favor, or care. It wasn't just a glance behind the shoulders just to see what happened. There was a longing. There was that yearning in her heart for those, because that's where her heart was. I had a note in my Bible that says, she had a mind for God in that she obeyed to escape, but she had a heart for Sodom. We don't want to find ourselves in that place. Having a mind for God to obey is good, but not a heart for this world. We need to have a heart for the Lord also. And just as the Lord took the children of Israel out of Egypt, and they obeyed in following, and yet from time to time they would start complaining and remembering about the leeks and the garlic and all the wonderful things that they had in Egypt, totally forgetting they were in bondage. They were slaves. They were mistreated. Yet their heart, they had that divided heart. They were remembering. They were longing. Lot's wife had a divided heart. There were things in Sodom that she loved. What kind of things? I don't know. But she would miss them. She didn't want to leave. She did not want to let them go. And then again, she destroyed herself because of her longing for that sin. Because of her divided heart, she ended up destroying herself and being turned into a pillar of salt. Now, again, when Jesus was referring to his second coming, he gave a warning, just like he's giving a warning to the Pharisees, just like Lot, the angels gave that warning to Lot and his family. Get out. Don't look behind you. Get out. And again, Jesus said to them, in that day, he who is on the housetop and his goods are in the house, let him not come down to take them away. And likewise, the one who is in the field, let him not turn back. Remember Lot's wife. Now, that's concerning his second coming. But what about us who look for the rapture of the church? Who, in a moment and in the twinkling of an eye, that trumpet will sound, there will be a shout, and we're out of here. That's it. There is no time to linger. Lot and his wife could physically linger. The second coming, they know the day, once that everything falls into place, they know the day that Jesus will come back and set his foot on the Mount of Olives. They have that time to linger, if they choose to linger. No man knows the day and hour that the Lord is going to return for his church. There is no time to linger. I must be positively sure that I don't have a divided heart here, that my heart is not planted in this world, but that my heart is set in the heavenlies, and that's where my focus is. Now, maybe your heart is being pulled today, and this is the point to this whole thing. And this is what I feel like the Lord wants to remind us and warn us of, is that our hearts might be being pulled away today, that those things, that the lust of the eyes and the lust of the flesh are drawing our attention away from the Lord. And we are allowing our eyes to look at places and look at things that we should not, because it produces that lust of the flesh. It produces that I want to choose for myself. Perhaps today you may be remembering those leeks and garlics, forgetting the bondage of sin. A few years ago, I was at a conference, a retreat, and there was a skit. And for some reason, the Lord has really impressed this upon my heart to share, and it's kind of silly, but I think he's going to speak to some hearts. This skit was concerning this looking back. Remember, you know, Lot's wife looking back and all that. And because of the age of the people involved, you'll know why it was like this. There's this mother, and she was at home, kind of, you know, getting a little bored with her life, kind of, you know, starting to remember back in her college days or that kind of a thing. And so she decided to, you know, get in the attic and get some memories down. And she had a groovy box. And she kept all her things in her groovy box. So she opened her groovy box up, and she'd pull out, you know, this scarf that would remind her of this event in her life. And she started pulling these and just started reminiscing and remembering. But then she pulled out this picture of her former love. And she started looking around her home at the life she had now. And she wasn't happy with where she was. So she started looking at this guy. And then in the skit, it took her back. And then this guy, it was like if they had gotten married. This is all in her mind, that she's remembering all this. Showed her life what she would thought it would be. Wonderful. Absolutely wonderful. Of course, without the Lord. And then it showed what it really would have been. And it was tragic. It was absolutely tragic. But the point to this is that there may be some of us today who have gotten our groovy box out, or whatever you want to call it, and have started to look through it. And because maybe you're dissatisfied with where you are in your marriage, in your home, in your life, and you're looking back and, oh, I should have married him. I should have went well. What would my life have been like? I gave up my career. I gave up my heart to be an actress, or whatever it might be. And the Lord is telling us today, remember Lot's wife. Remember.
Paul says, this one thing I do. Forget the things that are behind, and I reach toward the things that are ahead. I press on toward the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Proverbs 4:23 tells us to keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. What we see, what we hear, what we study, what we learn, all goes into our heart. So I need to guard my heart. I need to be careful of what I allow to go in. And then I need to be careful of bringing my thoughts into captivity and not letting them go back into that groovy box. And not pulling those things out from my past that look appealing now, but would have destroyed us. Just like the children of Israel, remembering the garlic and the leeks. And yet they were slaves. They were in bondage. Why would you want to go back to that? It tells us also in 2 Peter and in Proverbs that those who have really tasted and walked with the Lord and go back to their former life, it's like a dog returning to its vomit. And that's sickening. That is gross. But that's what it's like. Now, the enemy can make that vomit look very pleasant. And very tasty. But it's puke. That's all there is to it. It's garbage. It's just awful. We need to be careful to bring our thoughts into captivity. Jude 21, I love this scripture that says, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercies of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. If you haven't already written down the Proverbs 4:23, do that, and then also Jude 21. And with Jude 21, I'm very quickly just going to give you a couple of... I heard a study on this that Pastor Chuck Smith did, and it was just so good, and I can't go into it, but I can give you the little outline for you to go and sit with the Lord and let Him minister to you concerning this. You know, only you know if the Lord is speaking to your heart concerning these things of going back and remembering and being like Lot's wife and turning around and looking. Maybe some have been doing that, or maybe you were just getting to the point where you were just going to, and this is the warning from the Lord. But how do we keep ourselves in the love of God? And really, basically, all that means is for us to keep ourselves in that place where God can freely pour out His love and His blessings upon us. He wants to do that, and I want Him to do that in my life, so I want to keep myself in that place. That path of obedience. But Pastor Chuck gave us three little things to do. God, and that will keep yourself in the love of God. The second thing is also in verse 20, praying in the Holy Spirit. He gives three ways to do that. Spirit-led prayer. Lord, I don't know what to pray. Would you lead me and teach me and guide me in this prayer? The second way is through a prayer language, which is found in 1 Corinthians 12 and 14, that down the road Damian will be getting into through the book of Acts. And then the third way is in groanings, that the Spirit groans within us, Romans 8, 26. Then the third way that we can keep ourselves in the love of God is found in verse 21, and that is looking for the Lord's return. If we do those three things, we keep ourselves in the Word of God, we pray in the Holy Spirit, and we look for the Lord's return, we will keep ourselves in that place where the Lord can freely pour out His love and His blessing upon our life. And it'll keep us from going back. It'll keep us from turning. We don't want to turn back like Lot's wife did. And I want to close by reading Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Lord, I pray that you would Help us to choose, Lord, to walk with you and choose to stay around your people and not in the counsel of the ungodly. And Lord, that we would not pitch our tent in any direction that would be harmful to us. Lord, I pray that you would help this lesson find a place in our hearts, Lord. And you put that warning in your word, Jesus. You said to remember Lot's wife. And Lord, I just take that as a warning from you, for me and for my sisters. Lord, that if any of us, if our mind, if our thoughts have already been going down in that direction, that they shouldn't go, that we're remembering things that we shouldn't remember, desiring things that we shouldn't desire, Lord, I pray that you would prick our hearts. And Lord, for those who were just about to turn that way, thank you for the warning, Lord. And I pray, Father, that we would never open that box, but that we would, like Paul, forget those things that are behind and reach forward. Lord, that there would be no longing in our heart except for the longing for you and your word and what you have for us. That all the other desires and cravings would just fade away, and that we would wholeheartedly seek after you in your kingdom, Lord. We just thank you for loving us enough to speak to us and warn us. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.